It's January 27th, 2011. This is 508, a show about Worcester. I'm Michael Benedetti.
This is Tracy Novick, alleged school committee member. How do you respond to these allegations that you're a school committee member?
I think that actually that's probably true.
There you go. And Brendan Mellican.
Allegedly nothing.
Allegedly nothing. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good.
Welcome back.
Thanks. We've got the big news is it's been snowing outside. And
actual snow, not prop snow.
Yeah, and
actual children actually sledding.
Yeah, and if people live in Worcester, they know that it's snowing outside. So you don't need to watch the rest of the show or read the newspapers or anything like that because you already know the number one story of the week. There's other stories of the week. You guys have any priorities, anything you particularly care about?
We can take it in your order. It's your show.
All right, well, since you're on the show, let's talk about school policy stuff. You've been on television on other programs a couple times this week, huh?
Yes, and I have.
And this is because, as usual, this is like school news, and so I only half pay attention to it, and I don't understand.
Which is why you're such a good interviewer.
And I don't understand it at all because I have no children.
Yep.
And I never went to school in Worcester, but I guess I theoretically somehow pay taxes for these schools, so I guess I should care. And it is, you know.
Well, it's your community.
It is my community,
and
so
that
I
matters
do care.
In that way too.
There you go. I just have a hard time getting my head around. You know, it's like I don't know. Like, have you ever had friends who like you haven't seen in years, and they have had like a bunch of kids, and you just sort of can't keep the kids straight in your head. Mm-hmm. But then, like, if you visit them occasionally, even if you visit them once every 5 years, once you actually see the kids, you're like, okay, now
that
I know the oldest and the youngest and the blonde one and the redheaded one. And so I feel it's the same way. It's like the schools is something. It's like my dear friend. It's like my community. Blah blah blah. But I just cannot keep any of the children straight in my head, or any of the anything straight in my head.
But you don't have this problem, because you're a school committee member. So what's this thing with cheating on tests?
Okay. So, but going back to the beginning of September, we were told by the superintendent that there was some concern about a large number of erasures on the third grade math test at the Goddard School.
And this is the MCAS?
This is the MCAS, which is the statewide test. Kids have to take it in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 10th grade.
And this is like a hugely important test.
Hugely important deal. You cannot graduate from high school without having passed the 10th grade MCAS. It has everything to do with what the kids are taught, how the kids are taught it, how the curriculum is arranged, the whole nine yards.
Is school funding is impacted by this?
No? Yeah, but in funny ways. So when we had the whole level 4 blow up last spring, the decision that those two schools were level 4 schools and those principals had to be let go and so forth.
These are schools that did so if
poorly
school,
on the MCAS.
And so their principal gets fired.
Yes, although I think I'm supposed to say that the principals were replaced because they didn't actually lose their jobs. They just got different jobs.
They just got better, higher paying jobs or they have to work less, if I'm not mistaken, right?
The pay is the same.
Okay.
They got pushed along, though.
They did.
Okay, anyway. So, the MCAS, so everybody, the students have a ton of, like, incentive to do well in the MCAS.
Yeah.
And the teachers have some kind of incentive for their students
to
do well.
Well, and this is where it gets crazy, right? So the district is judging the MCAS, the schools are judging the MCAS, we now have the principals being judged in the MCAS. The teachers know coming down the pike that because we took the Race to the Top money, we now have to tie teacher evaluation to their students' test scores. So we're not doing that yet, but once we take this Race to the Top money, that's actually part of the agreement, is that we'll start doing that.
Okay.
So yeah, how well their kids in their class do in the MCAS is going to directly impact how they're seen as a teacher.
Okay, so there was this problem that a bunch of kids in the third grade had erased more than you would think, had erased. Is the MCAS like bubbles, like number two pencils
mostly
and bubbles?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of erasing of the bubbles.
Right.
How do they even know this?
Well, the state, as a matter of course, generally reviews stuff like this. And there are people who actually like do this for a living. Because, I mean, there's a whole study of, you know, what's a normal number of erasures and what's an odd number.
So when the computer looks at the form, it can tell a bubble that's marked and a bubble that's been erased?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's not that surprising.
They make a lot of money doing this stuff, so they've invested some in it.
So people do the statistical analysis of the erasures and the whole deal.
All kinds of stuff like that.
And they are like, this is like off the charts.
Off the chart, right.
Or not maybe off the chart, but this is like not the right number.
It's an abnormal number.
Okay.
Right. So they came in, with the state and the administration went in and did a complete investigation. And then that was the last we'd heard of it until last Wednesday night. And there were parents who were calling and saying, why don't we know anything? Is anything going to happen? And we kept asking, and we weren't hearing anything. And so we got a one-page press release from the Commissioner of Education, which said that far beyond the third grade math test, that the state felt that it was necessary to throw out all of the scores in grades 3, 4, 5, and 6 in not only math, but also in science and English.
At Goddard.
At Goddard. Yes. And that as a consequence of this...
Wait a second. Why was it so many... Wait a second. So, like, all the elementary school, basically.
Yes.
All the
Several
tests,
hundred children. Yes.
The tests would get thrown out. They have to do do-overs.
No, they don't even do do-overs. They just say it doesn't count.
And they say there's no number. You never took the test.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
The state said this.
State said this.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a big deal, right? I mean, we spend all this time bumping these kids up. This is important. You got to do your best. You got to go in there. There's no number.
But why? So why is it a big deal? If you just say, let's just call it even, you can take it next year and we'll figure it out.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's really fair to the kids. I mean, we spend all this time saying,
you know what, though?
This is really important.
If there's any lesson that adults teach their children,
it's that life is not fair.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Well, we've had a really excellent illustration of that this week, unfortunately. The other half of this is even more not fair, which is that you would assume that if it were this bad, that if somehow the breaking of the rules was this widespread.
Like, all the kids in the whole school were cheating on every
test. Well, exactly.
Test.
Which, I don't know. I mean, if you know any teachers, getting all of the teachers to agree to somehow do this magically strikes me as being somewhat difficult to believe.
So the idea... So wait, let's take a step back, because
yes.
Maybe you explained it, but maybe I was distracted by these beautiful chalk drawings in the background here.
Thank you.
The theory of the crime here is that somehow the teachers said to their students, like... The teachers went back and
There's a list of allegations. There's first of all, that teachers told kids to go back and double check things, which you can't do on the MCAS. There's that teachers told kids to write more.
Wait, so you can't erase?
You can erase, but the teacher can't come over and say, hey, you know, you want to take another look at number 5.
Okay.
Teacher can't say, you only wrote one sentence on that short answer. You probably want to write more like 4.
Okay.
They're also, for kids who have special education needs, who actually have someone write their answers down for them, so mm-hmm. the kid is saying something and there's a scribe,
mm-hmm.
The state said that there were instances in which somebody who was scribing wrote down stuff the kid didn't say.
This is because some teacher has, some other education adult has seen this happen and reported them?
Well, that's where, I don't know that either, because, again, we only have this one, I don't know how they found out the information, I don't know if it was teachers telling them this about either themselves or other people,
But it should be clear, though, that no one's making an allegation that the students were actually cheated. It's all the focus is on the...
On adults.
Yes. That were somehow encouraging. It doesn't appear that there were hundreds of students, you know, in some sort of conspiracy to offset the MCAS. It's just a small handful of adults guiding students in inappropriate ways.
Right.
And
yes.
Because they're adults, somehow we've decided that it's not actually cheating, it's testing irregularities, which I believe is the language we're using.
And that this is where it even gets better, which is that the solution to all of this is to send the principals and the administrators to workshops, and that's what's going to fix this.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
From the state. So I should probably point out that the principals and the administrators don't actually give the MCAS. They're not the people who are in the classroom actually saying to the kids,
What would these workshops be about?
Well, we're going to find out on Thursday. Apparently, the superintendent said she was going to tell us, but somehow on testing procedures. Now, I got to tell you, I actually gave the MCAS. It's not that complicated.
Okay.
Like, there's a whole list of rules about like what you can't do, and that's kind of obnoxious. But they're not hard to follow. They're not difficult to follow. I don't think that there were teachers who somehow didn't understand this.
Because they are teachers, and they do give tests.
As a matter of course, yeah.
Do we know that they were teachers and not just like proctors that were?
We don't know any. And this is it. We don't know and that was actually why, when I walked into the meeting on Thursday, and then started to think about it over the weekend, the thing that kept coming back to me was, if I taught at the Goddard School and I had done everything right in my classroom, and then the allegation from the state had been, we're throwing out your kids' scores as well, and that everybody's principals are going to have to go to training and that somehow this is going to fix this, I would be ripped. I would be absolutely furious that somehow I was being held responsible for other people cheating, mm-hmm. and that somehow the only thing that was going to happen to anybody, including the people who actually did something wrong, was that the principals were going to go to a workshop.
Okay.
So that's what brought us to this week, which is when three of us are filing several items asking for an internal investigation asking for a release.
You and Brian O'Connell.
Yes.
And
Diana Biancaria.
Three people on the school committee saying we need to do additional investigation.
Yes.
Will you get a fourth to do you think that will support that?
That will be the open question going into Thursday.
Do you need a fourth?
We do in order to get something through the school committee.
Okay. Wait a second. Only four people have to support it?
There's seven members on the school committee, so the majority is four.
Look at learning. I learned something.
It's amazing how often three and four manages to work its way into.
Well, even more interesting, though, since the Goddard School story came out since then, and this is the words of Brendan Mellick and not Tracy Novick, it also appears that we have found out just through the fine reporting of the Telegram and not from the administration that the state is also looking at irregularities at Belmont Elementary School.
Okay.
But what I thought was even more interesting, it appears that the last district that Dr. Boone was in also had an issue with similar irregularities as well that involved not just Dr. Boone and her district, but one of the consultants that she worked closely with down there, who we've also been paying as a consultant here in Worcester since Dr. Boone came on board.
Wait, but nobody's saying that Dr. Boone had anything to do with irregularities. Aren't there irregularities in school? I mean, isn't this just something that happens in your school district? And if you have experience running a school district, then you have had irregularities. It's probably safe
to assume that this sort of thing happens all the time. But as a matter of fact, it's only been four communities in the Commonwealth that have ever had to deal with testing irregularities that have been identified by the state. So in the number of years that we've been giving the MCAS, it is in fact a rarity that anyone's called to the mat for this sort of issue. So it might happen all the time. It's just that nobody seems to either get caught for it or have to do anything as a result.
So I want to. So if there's internal investigations, does this mean that the workshop thing wouldn't happen, or that maybe something in addition to the workshop?
Well, the state's requiring the workshop thing, so we have to do the workshop thing regardless.
Okay.
I have to say I'm somewhat dubious on the relative merits of that as a solution.
So here's what I want to know. I think this is kind of an interesting story.
Yep.
But I feel like, again, like as somebody who knows nothing about education and grew up in the days before standardized testing was the whole point of education.
Yep.
I feel like it's not the point, it shouldn't be the point of education to do good on filling out a standardized
test.
Like, learning to fill in a bubble, all kids should know how to do this, but for that to be the main thing of education.
We call that coloring in the lines, though, and it's usually learned early on.
Kids, coloring books is like, exactly. Coloring books is fine. If you want to make it a bubble rather than a little drawing of Elmo or something, that's fine. So, I feel like this. What this teaches the kids, though, is this says to the kids, like, I don't know, maybe it gives them a little sense that, like, what I'm just having to deal with the world outside of standardized testing. To say, okay, like, so your standardized test is completely void this year. Like, now how are you going to judge yourself? Now how are you going to look at your life? And the kid's going to have to say, what did I learn this year? What relationships did I make this year? How is my life going this year? You know, like, look at the real things, which education is really supposed to be about, rather than looking at this artificial thing. That this is sort of like helping the kids develop a Buddhist-like detachment from standardized testing.
Am I wrong? Yeah,
Brendan?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and I think it even goes a step further, that this is one of those rare cases where you also see the stress and the pressures that are put on school-level administrators, you know, principals and whatnot, to also perform well. Like, we have elementary schools in Worcester that their biggest problem is not performing poorly on the MCAS, but they're doing so well in terms of AYP that in a short period of time, they're not going to, the ceiling, like, can't go any higher, right? Like, they have to meet certain marks every year in terms of improvement,
they're
but there's not that much room
for
improvement.
They're just acing it year after year.
And I would imagine that you've also today got principals all around the city saying, well, why the hell am I working so hard at this if it's if the administration itself is going to just kind of brush aside any allegations of wrongdoing? I mean, you've got principals that are going gray prematurely because of all the effort that they put into meeting AYP year in, year out, and then you find out that the administration doesn't even really care how you go about meeting AYP. I think that sends the a pretty terrible message as well to the folks that are doing the right thing, you know, straight through, both teachers and principals.
And I don't agree with you in terms of the emphasis on standardized testing. The problem is that nobody's actually saying that to the kids. What the teachers are saying is, well, now you really need to go in there this year, and you need to show them that it wasn't about cheating and it wasn't about something else. You need to show them that you can do this all on your own. Talking to Goddard parents, and that's...
So basically the objection to this, doing something like this, is you're basically just jerking around a whole school of kids for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, you know. All right. Fair enough. Well, that's 15 minutes on that subject. Let's talk about what else is going on.
Are you more excited about public education now?
Am I more excited about public education now?
Now there's scandals involved?
No, there's scandals.
They're not that exciting of
it's
scandal.
It's like season 4 of The Wire for you. It's yeah.
See, The Wire will come up later. Later this year, maybe. Not maybe later today. What else is there? Converted Organics. There's some news about the financial the company that owns Pharmasphere, just that their liquidity ratio looks bad. Although somebody posted a blog comment saying their liquidity ratio looked bad third quarter of last year because they're in the middle of this huge restructuring, and now maybe fourth quarter will look better.
How do you exactly restructure a company that doesn't seem to exist?
I don't. They do exist. They're on the NASDAQ or something, right?
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of an actual entity.
I don't know. Like, I'm actually reading a book on accounting now, so there'll be many more misinformed things about liquidity ratios on my various blog posts.
Will the restructuring help them with their sidewalk shoveling? They're not responsible for
the sidewalk because they don't own the property. Okay. The city's been desperately trying to give them the property for 3 years, but they can't take the property because their plate is full. The TNG cut most of the people in their circulation department, all the people in the circulation department who are doing home delivery, which turns out to be most of the people in the circulation department, I think. I think it's like 17 half-time, 17 full-time people, and there's like 10 left in the circulation department. They're outsourcing it. I just was thinking about that. I sort of these days buy into this theory of newspapers, that a newspaper is an organization which prints and delivers paper advertising, you know, however far a short haul truck can go, however far a van can go. That's like the core business of a newspaper. They do have this news gathering thing, which is intended to make people actually pick up this piece of paper that they're giving you and open it up and look at it. You know, like much more than half the money that they make is like coming from the people putting the ads in the paper. Only a small percentage is coming from, like 30% is coming from people giving them the money to get that guy to bring stuff to you. So it's interesting that if that's the theory is correct, that this is their core business, it's interesting to see them outsource the core business. Like, not every business that does delivery needs to run delivery. Like, Amazon doesn't have its own postal service. Like, they use UPS or the post office, whatever. Like, it's just that the newspapers historically have had their own postal service, and now they're basically saying, we don't want to have our own postal service.
Didn't newspapers used to outsource this in the form of, they used to call them paper boys, though? It used to be, like, the ultimate in terms of, like, breaking child labor laws and, you know, skirting all sorts of
apparently the paper boys are still there. Like the same people who deliver your paper now, like, who are maybe are independent contractors or something, or are still going to be independent contractors, just for this other,
flinging papers over their,
just for this other company. I don't know. I think they mostly use card now, but it's just for this other company. Anyway, I just think that that's interesting. It also sort of makes me wonder about like one of the TNG's businesses, which is like probably the most controversial or least loved businesses that they have, is the business of throwing trash in people's yard. Right. And like, they're basically now the TNG is saying, we no longer want to have the ability to throw trash in your yard. Like, maybe they can do it, but they're going to just be kind of doing it through this other
proxy.
Company,
yeah.
Through a proxy. So now it's like, if you're an advertiser and you want to throw trash in people's yard, isn't there a little more incentive to just cut out the middleman and go right to the company that's like contracting with all these paper boys and whatever, and say, here, we can get this stuff printed cheaper than we can get the Telegram Gazette to print it, and give it to you and pay you to put trash in people's yards. And now the TNG doesn't have to be involved. Why should they take a cut? Because they're not doing anything. I don't know.
I had not thought of it that way.
I don't know. I don't really understand your business, Telegram and Gazette. You should tell me that I'm wrong. Like, send me some emails. You can send me an email. If you're a TNG employee and you want to send me an email about this, and you want, like, normally I would say if people email you something and say, I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff, and also, by the way, this is, like, not for public disclosure, I sort of feel this is unfair. It's like, you just sent me the email unsolicited. Like, you can't, I never promised you anything before you sent me the email. I'm going to promise you now, if you're a Telegram Gazette employee, and you want to tell me stuff about the circulation and about how that business works, and you want to include in that same email that it's not for public disclosure, I won't publicly disclose it. I just want to know what's going on. And if
we
you want
to probably should. I mean, to Brendan's earlier point, it was the TNG that actually broke the story on Belmont. It was the TNG that gave me my first taste of what was going on with the innovation
school. That should be their business model again. They have a business model that actually works over there on the news gathering
side.
There was
some news, some like good local news gathering that happened this
week. I'm not here to insulting the Telegram and Gazette news gathering. That's a whole different subject. That's a whole different conversation.
That in theory, at least in my mind, that is supposed to be what they're supposed to be about.
Okay, maybe. Anyway, I'm also not saying that Telegram and Gazette are bad business people. Like,
they're better business people than me. They understand how to run a newspaper better than I do.
But I
like, the fact that I look at it and think that they're making some sort of, seems like they're making a mistake, doesn't mean they're making a mistake. It means that I don't understand why this is a good idea.
I think there's just a heck of a lot more money to be made in the old school news gathering business than there is in the new school littering business. That's the thing. I mean, I think that, you know, if they actually focused more on some of the really good investigative journalism, that people would be more apt to pay for that than pay for the privilege of having, you know, a third party dump trash on your front lawn.
I think you're naive, but let's move on. somebody on Facebook said we should talk about people working from home with all the snow. We're, in fact, taping a show. We're doing a television show from a house today, so that's not work, it's true. Somebody mentioned that you can get a free engagement announcement in Bride and Groom magazine. There you go. I thought that the socially acceptable way to do these days was Facebook, but maybe...
You have to pay, the point is you have to pay for the telegramming because I have to do it now. They used to.
But why do you even want it when the telegramming is that?
Well, there's been a lot fewer of them since you've had to pay for it in the telegramming.
I'm not even talking about paying for it.
Well,
I'm talking about...
people can show up, put it on people's lawn.
But if people want to know that I'm engaged, like, if I put my engagement announcement in the telegramming gazette, most of my friends and most of the people who want to know are not going to see it. They're going to be like, why didn't you put it on Facebook?
Or
right?
Just call me.
Or just call, or call you, or just do it like a normal person. But like, honestly, like Facebook seems like that's like,
well,
how the actual
thing
people.
Mostly is like for, you know, somebody's grandmother's aunt, or you know, like your next door neighbor, you know, your mother's next door neighbor.
But see, that's the part that makes
thing.
Even less sense, because those are the people that are most likely to not get invited to the wedding and then end up being
really irritated.
And the only, they wouldn't even know it was happening
they
if you just
dust.
Put it on Facebook. So the people that you don't want to know aren't reading Facebook. So that's,
I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you. I think that we should toy around with that bride and groom system, though, and see if we can game it. That's just
game it how?
What's that? Just make stuff up and see what we can get
see
for
if you
absurd
could...
wedding announcements from Worcester.
All right, bride and groom, beware. Look carefully at these announcements coming in. One topic that... So some of the topics that I claim not to know anything about, I actually kind of know something about. There's one topic that I actually don't know that much about, which is this thing of moving the PIP. So the PIP has been the PIP has been de facto moved from Main Street to Jake's Ave. And I really realized that there used to be a time when I totally would know all the inside wheelings and dealings of something like this, and that time is years in the past, and I really don't know that much about this subject. So this is something we're going to investigate.
It's a hard-hitting investigative
report. No, it's just going to be talking to people who work at CHL or whatever in the coming weeks and find out what is going on and how is this new facility on Jake's Ave shaping up.
Have you officially solved the problem of chronic homelessness in Worcester? That seems to be
the actual
topic of debate.
Apparently so. I don't know. I don't
Doesn't
think
this
the...
feel like George Bush flying in the airline and talking about...
Mission accomplished.
No, it just seems like an odd thing to declare.
I don't know.
You know, because all we did was shutter a building, that now homelessness is gone from Worcester.
I think Worcester honestly does better with homelessness than a lot of communities. Like, I don't want
to
rag Worcester.
Like, I did see a guy yesterday holding a sign, and he claimed to be homeless on the sign. And he could have totally been a charlatan.
You know that it's a lie now when you see those signs, because it's done. It's over with.
It's over. I mean, this guy is clearly just scamming us all now. But, I mean, I'm actually genuinely concerned that that's the impression that people in Worcester could end up having, that these folks are charlatans when, in fact, we didn't cure homelessness.
Well, some of them are charlatans, but that's aside from the fact that they're still homeless people.
You can be both. Yes.
Sure. Okay, I don't know. Like I said, I actually have only seen a little bit of the coverage on this, so I can't even criticize what the coverage is. I had a dog run in. How much time do we have? We got 7 minutes. I had a dog run into me just like before we taped the show. I was walking down the street here, and these two boxers, like, and is a boxer a pit bull?
No, but no, well,
is it technically under the legislation? Is it a pit bull?
Depending on which city council you ask, it's one.
Okay. Anyways, so let's call it a pit bull. I had these two boxers like barking. They're just come out from like running up this guy's driveway. I'm like walking down the street because the sidewalks are totally covered in snow, and they like come running up the driveway, rah, 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 rah. And one of them, I guess, hits it, and I sort of stop and start to move slowly and like don't make eye contact to try to like not have this boxer do anything. And I think one of them, like, hits an ice patch or something and just comes, like, stumbling across the street and, like, bam! And then he runs back to the edge of the property and barks at me from there. So that was my dog. That was my aggressive dog story of the day.
Was it, a really attractive sort of light brown, like caramel brown boxer?
These are beautiful. There's two of them. One of them didn't hit the ice patch and stayed at the property.
Is that the color that one of them?
Yeah.
So that dog, if it's the dog that I'm thinking of, is a chronic nuisance in this neighborhood. It actually, every morning, early in the morning, it goes from house to house, digging up people's gardens and just taking giant dumps and then burying them in the garden. I've caught it doing it once.
I love this dog.
It's an amazing animal because it seems to just be trying to purposely annoy humans. Like, because it buries neatly when it takes a dump in your garden, it buries it neatly.
It's so like it a cat. Like,
and it, then you just find it organically. Like, wow, now I'm growing dog poo in my garden.
I see
quite the thing.
I see a guy walk those dogs occasionally.
I'm sure they're lovely dogs and lovely people, but
I'm
going
to talk to that guy and find
out.
I'm going to find out about the dog before I start to judge the dog, because I think they're probably beautiful animals, even if they do mess up people's yard. Next week on the show, we're going to talk about co-working, how I want somebody to make a co-working space in the city. I don't know what else we're going to talk about next week. I guess the news will decide. More snow? You guys got anything left? We could do 5 more minutes of show if you want.
Are we going to talk about shoveling sidewalks and that exhaustive nonsense of it?
We need to get real.
The city needs to revise all this stuff. Because you know what the thing is? It's like the city is not going to shovel the sidewalks, its own sidewalks, at least not all of them. The state is not going to shovel its own sidewalks. Like, people shovel their sidewalks, which means some neighborhoods are walkable, but, man, if you got any kind of city-owned property in that neighborhood, like, suddenly the sidewalk's not walkable, and then people are wandering back and forth in the road and falling on the ice and stuff. I feel like that we need to get more real about this thing with the sidewalks. I don't know what the answer is. That's my answer. I want to ask you, is there anything else going on with schools this week? Four minutes. Anything else exciting education-wise?
Well, yeah, I mean, the governor released his budget yesterday.
All right.
So there you go. Now we can do numbers, too, in a different way.
What do we know about this?
We know that they're kind of playing a shell game with...
Well, this is what you're supposed to do with...
No, we've got this big announcement, right, that there's going to be $140 million more dollars spent on education this year. Only it turns out that it's $140 more million dollars from the state, which is replacing 200 and something million that we had from the federal government last year, which means that it's actually a cut of $81 million, which is kind of unfortunate, particularly in light of the headlines.
So the state is increasing their contribution to the budget, but the feds are slashing it more than that, so...
Yes.
We're going to have less money for education.
But we can fix that by signing up for new contests that the federal government will sure to be having for educational goals. Like Race to the Top, right? I mean, just as long as everything is like a game show in education, that the money is out there. It's like playing a lottery.
I love Race to the Top. Yeah. I've talked about this before.
Can't win if you don't play.
Way better than No Child Left Behind.
Can't win if you don't play.
It's the total opposite of No Child Left Behind.
Yeah. It's just a challenge.
I don't know anything about the details. I just know the name is way better.
From a marketing perspective, it's superior.
That's pretty clear that you don't know anything about
the details. It's Darwinian. That's all I know. The other one is like,
No Child Left Behind is not at all what it says it is.
That's the kind of socialist program you would think that a Republican president would pass. Whereas Race to the Top is like Survivor. It's like Lord of the Flies.
There's a reason why there was wide Republican support for it.
No Child Left Behind or Race to the Top?
Race to the Top. Except it did involve, of course, spending federal money, which...
I don't know. Anyway, we're not entertaining anybody. We're just making smart remarks about this stuff. guys, thanks for being on the show. We have this week Tracy Novick, school committee member.
Thanks for having me on.
We have Brendan Mellican, homeowner, snow shoveler.
That's about it.
Do you have any snow shoveling tips?
No, just do as much as you can, right? Like, I think it's easy to go, like, take care of your own little space and run back inside your house. It's actually kind of fun to go out and clean off stuff for your neighbors and whatnot. I get a lot of elderly neighbors, and I actually take great joy in taking care of their sidewalks and their driveways when they're not home.
There you go.
That's all.
Do a good turn. I'm Michael Benedetti. Thank you for watching the show, and we will be back next week.